AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Thursday morning, December 20th, 2018, the Beating the Book podcast, Megapod, week 16 in the National Football League. Remember, there's no guessing lines or Megapod next week. In between Christmas and New Year's, week 17, we never do either. Don't get mad at us. Get mad at Marco.
No. Gil, you did. That was the tradition every single year. And then the one year you had this bright idea, I'll just do another podcast. And none of the games meant anything, and the couple that did, the line was so high, and you didn't know who was playing, and it was, you know, no other way to say it. It was a clusterfuck of a show.
It really was. How quickly did I throw you under the bus there, by the way? I was like, don't.
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah. I could come back and throw you under the bus and tell people how close we were to ending this thing 2 years ago. How I could do that, but yeah.
We talked about that on the show, didn't we? Like, the joke was I took you guys to a break.
We glossed it over, but, you know, people don't realize how close that was. But the best part was, you know, when you, like, almost break up with a girl, and then you decide, oh, man, she is, you know, she really is hot. And then, you take the two of us to dinner, and, you know, it pulled out all the stops. We went to, it was at the Aria, the...
Carbone.
Oh, the name of the... What was it?
Carbone.
Carbone, yes.
Yeah.
And I got the bone-in veal parmesan, and we made you pay for that one.
What do you mean you made me pay? It was my breakup, like, it's not you guys, it's me.
Well, I know, but I said we didn't go soft on you.
Oh, no.
We knew you were paying. Oh, there's no question about that, dude.
And then the next morning I'm like, "Yeah, let's keep doing it." That's how it turned out. Yeah. Well, that's a great story, Marco. Probably a little too in depth, but I appreciate it.
No problem. You know what? Some of these games this week don't deserve the time. So we'll entertain with that.
You're 100% right. As always, the show, I should point out, brought to you by thescorex.com, thescorex. It's that secret stock market thing. We have the winner of the year-long event coming on our show for Wild Card Weekend. 2 weeks left in that contest, the year-long Beating the Book Megapod ScoreX contest. Who's got the biggest return on their portfolio? Right now, the leader remains profitable, 34.8%. But the lead is narrowing just a little bit. Snap Fade, second place, 29.2%. And The Wick, 28.8% in third place. So we'll see if profitable can hang on. And join us the Megapod Wildcard Weekend. We look forward to that. As always, that's the voice of Marco D'Angelo from Wager Talk. I don't need to introduce him anymore. Ace is here as well on the left from out of the sports betting diaspora. Hello, Ace.
All right. Thanks for having me, brother.
There he is. And joining us once again, kind enough to join us from thepowerrank.com, Ed Fang. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, guys. Thanks so much for having me on. Pumped to talk some games.
We appreciate it. Let's start. Here's the thing. We always start in the format where we start with the Monday night game. This Monday night game sucks. If you have a betting angle on it, though, by all means, feel free to extrapolate. If you don't, let's just move on. Denver, 3-point favorites at Oakland Monday night. The game means nada, except for perhaps draft position. Denver coming off a horrific loss to the Browns on Saturday, in which Vance Joseph decided to kick a field goal to make it 17-16, as opposed to going for it on 4th-and-1 late. Oakland, well, they're just not that good at football. They're coming off yet another loss. Denver, -3 at Oakland. Any thoughts on this one, Ed?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to jump in here a little bit.
I
don't like the side on this game just because it's hard to figure out where Oakland's mind is, whether they're going to play. You kind of got to think they're going to be pumped up at home against a division rival. But I can't put numbers to motivation, so I'm not going to do that. But one thing I do want to point out about this game is that Oakland's fundamentals on offense have been pretty good. At my side, I look at pass offense in terms of adjusted yards per play. Oakland ranks 9th. And remember, they haven't had Amari Cooper for the last however many weeks. And I've also started looking at success rate adjusted for strength of schedule this year. So success is simply if you get 50% of yards on first down, 70% on second down, and all the necessary yards on third and fourth down. Oakland's offense ranks 10th. And so they're doing interesting things on that side of the ball. They're awful on the other side of the ball, but this does kind of point to the over on this one. I think it looked like it opened at 45. It's down to 43. I really can't understand that, especially since Chris Harris Jr. is not playing for Denver. Garyon Connolly for Oakland, cornerback, is a little dinged up. So yeah, this is one thing. I mean, I think Oakland's offense is possibly decent, and the over is something that you should consider in this game.
Yeah, 43.5, somewhere in that pocket. That's where the total is right now. Broncos and the Raiders on Monday night. Marco, anything here?
Yeah, I like the Oakland side, Gil, and I'm going to do the angle. By the time this game is played on Sunday, Denver could possibly be officially eliminated. They're still mathematically alive. But I'll tell you who also is just mathematically alive is Vance Joseph, because the minute this team is officially out of the playoffs, he is also going to be officially eliminated as coach of the Denver Broncos. And for the Oakland Raiders side, yes, what Ed said about the offense, Derek Carr has looked good in the last three games. Kansas City and Pittsburgh, they took both of those teams to the limit and got the win against Pittsburgh. Yeah, were those teams looking past them? Probably. But last week they did lose in Cincinnati, committed a few turnovers, and it was a dead spot for them. Off of the Pittsburgh win and with this Monday night game on deck, traveling to the East Coast was a bad spot for them. But let's throw in the intangible. This, for all intents and purposes, is probably going to be the final game in the Oakland Coliseum. And the Raiders, they're going to play somewhere next year, but it's not going to be here. And as much as, you know, all of the stuff, in Gil, you're more in depth with, in touch with the Bay Area. You know, the players had nothing to do with this. This is a situation with ownership, and city officials couldn't get a stadium done and all that, and that's why they're leaving. They want to give their fans, I think, a win, sending it out. And there's no coincidence that this was on Monday night, their last home game. The Black Hole, Monday night, drinking all day, them going out on a high note. I think it's a great situational spot, especially if Denver's eliminated. And even if Denver's not, they get to play spoiler and be the one that eliminates them. I'll take Oakland.
It's an interesting point. One correction. The Broncos are already eliminated, Marco. They are done.
They are? Okay,
donezo.
Well then.
Yeah.
Goodbye, man.
but it's an interesting point you make about Oakland Coliseum. I had an experience with this at RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C. in 97. RFK Stadium, where the Redskins had won 3 Super Bowls as their home
Stadium, and they were moving, but they were moving, you know, just outside of the city to FedEx Field where they play today, which is the worst stadium experience in life. But it was a final game against the Cowboys. The Redskins destroyed the Cowboys that day. They weren't going to the playoffs. The Redskins weren't. It was just one of those days where you knew the Redskins were going to win, but they were still beloved, right? And people ripped chairs out of RFK. You know, the soccer team, the DC United, was still playing there, so it's not like the stadium was going away or the team really out of town. This is a little different, right? The Raiders are leaving again. So it could be a very, how can I put this, interesting scene in the stands in this game. No telling what they're going to do to that building in the black hole and otherwise. The building's not going anywhere, but final home game, you never know what kind of shenanigans are going to be pulled out there. So it is a weird kind of game, and I'm kind of with you on that, Marco. I think there is a strange kind of emotional edge to the Raiders in this ballgame. I should point out, by the way, because Ed brought up Chris Harris, that game against the Browns, the Broncos were down 5 cornerbacks. Like, that's unbelievable. Chris Harris Jr., Isaac Wyden, Brendan Langley, Jamar Taylor, even Bradley Roby was out for a bit. I mean, that was just ridiculous. Broncos, though, had a 13-play drive, eat up more than 7 minutes. But after Philip Lindsay late in that game was stuffed for a no gain on 3rd-and-1 from the Cleveland 6, that's when Vance Joseph sent in kicker Brandon McManus for a field goal instead of going for it on 4th down. Broncos did get the ball back at their 13 with 1:49 remaining after Greg Williams decided to go for it on 4th down, which I think was the right call. They reached the 50-yard line with 52 seconds left, but then a spike, 2 incompletions, and a sack by Jabril Peppers of Case Keenum there. That all but ended Denver's playoff hopes, and those playoff hopes are donezo now. 32 rushing yards for the Broncos in that game against the Browns. Ace, any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I wasn't really surprised that the total dropped, just because historically this series has been an under series. 5 of the last 6 have gone under, and they were some pretty low totals, 40, 41, a couple 44s, 43, and it still stayed under the total. So I understood why that move, and then you couple that with the fact Denver hasn't gone over in a game since early, you know, mid-October, pretty much. So, you know, it's kind of the trend to the under, but I agree 100% with Ed. I think this one sets up nicely for an over. I mean, we know when teams have nothing to play for, it tends to be more of a schoolyard-type game. And more importantly, like we've touched on so many times with the podcast, it tends to take more effort to play defense than to play offense. I mean, we see it with, you know, all-star games and Pro Bowls and stuff. When no one's playing defense, it's pretty easy to put up points. So I agree. I think the over offers some value, especially now that it's dropped to 43. As far as the side, I simply tried to middle it. I thought the line would go up. I laid 2.5, and I still have an out that lets me buy a half a point on 3 for 10 cents. So I knew I'd be able to take 3.5 at 10 for only 10 cents, and I figure I'll have action that way by possibly setting up a middle. But the only position I look to take is the under. I missed the 45, so I may be forced to sit it out if it doesn't go back up, but it's a primetime game. It may do so, especially as we approach game time.
You have an out that lets you buy off the 3 for 10 cents?
Yep.
Nice.
Yep, 3-7, still 10 cents, dude. And I just got to go real, like, can't do it a lot, you know, and I never bet limits with him. Like, if it's a nickel limit, I'll put, like, $300 on stuff because his lines are sometimes so far off. Mm-hmm. Like, he gives them to you, and that's it. Like, barely ever even moves them. So it's one of those outs I just keep in that pocket, man.
Yeah. Don't want to abuse it either and piss anybody off.
Yeah, not take advantage. Exactly. Yeah. For stuff like this is what I'll use them for.
By the way, that's a point that we don't make enough, and that's, like, some of the complaints about, like, William Hill, people getting backed off at, like, William Hill. If you know a company or if you know an out is capable of that kind of behavior, maybe kind of realize that that's how they are and don't push the issue.
That's the game, Gil. I don't mean to interrupt you. Yeah. Honestly, I don't understand, and you could delete this from the podcast
when you
edit it.
No.
Just us talking.
Yeah.
But all bullshit aside, I get so sick of it seeing on Twitter. It's bad enough the books that post, oh, we took a $500,000 money line bet, and we took a $300,000 money line bet and all this stuff, and yet they won't take a $5,000 bet from someone labeled a long-term winner. I get it. They shouldn't advertise the $300,000 bet if you're not willing to take it from everybody, so I understand that argument. But on the flip side of that same coin, I don't understand why all this bitching about they won't take a bet, they won't take a bet, they won't take a bet. Then open your own sports book and book all the sharps if that's that's what you think the right moves to do. They're a company. They're a corporation. Their job is to turn a profit. That's it. Not the, if the market allows it, then that's what's going to happen. We decided. It's kind of like blackjack went to 6-5. Why? Because everyone kept playing it.
Yeah.
So if you're going to keep playing, stop bitching. And if you're going to bitch about sportsbooks not wanting to take your action because you win long term, then be fucking smart about it. Find more outs. Don't bet the limits with everyone so you get dropped. Put in some middles. Put in some scalps. Give them some work. I mean, there's ways to keep accounts active.
It's 1,000%
right. If you're that sharp and you're making that much money and you're that great at this, that's the simple part. You should have learned probably 10 years ago how to keep your outs as long as possible.
That's exactly right.
By putting in some cold stuff. You can't just fire hot shit in there all day, every day, and think the guy's going to keep taking it. I wouldn't take it.
It's different.
You know?
It's different.
Because it's a race, Gil.
Yeah.
You don't need a lot of them. If you have one guy that's going to give you all the moves, then why do you need the other 15 guys piggybacking the sharp shit? Let him give you the stuff, adjust your lines, and then screw everybody else. I'd be doing the same thing, if you know what I mean. But I'm not going to take all the sharp action. For what?
Yeah, it's different from you know, my William Hill thing where they don't pay you. Once the bets are made, they need to pay you.
That's different.
But that's different. It's the business model of some of these companies. And it is always funny after a while. You're like, you know how they are. Play the game, because they're not going to let you play it at all if you don't play the game, basically, is what we're saying.
And they shouldn't.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They shouldn't. That's what they're there for, to turn a profit. And if you're, I know because of card counting, that was the job. It was a cat and mouse game. Could we get in and how many hands can we play before they throw us out? But they're going to throw us out because they're supposed to. Because I would.
That's, again, why the only sponsor I have here is Bookmaker, because they're not like that, right? They're one of the few places on Earth that's not like that. And those places are rarer and rarer. But anyway, we'll get to that later. Let's do Sunday night. KC at Seattle. Unlike the Monday night game, which has no implications whatsoever, this has implications everywhere for both teams. One of four games this weekend that has implications for both teams involved. KC loses to the Chargers last Thursday night in dramatic fashion. Phillip Rivers, don't get me started. We'll get to him in a minute when we talk about the Chargers. But the Chiefs are now 11-3. They have the tiebreaker over the Chargers in the AFC West. So if the Chiefs win out, they'll get the number one seed in the AFC playoffs. But by this Sunday night game, 24 hours before this, they will know if the Chargers have won their game against the Ravens. If the Chargers have, that will continue to put the pressure on the Chiefs to keep pace in the AFC West. Otherwise, with a loss here and a Chargers win, they will fall into wild card position. Obviously, after a long season of just all of us talking about the Chiefs nonstop, that will be a shock to the system. Chiefs are at Seattle. Chiefs right now, as we look across the board, consensus in this ballgame are, let's call it a 2.5 extra juice. 2.5-point favorite with extra juice consensus at Seattle. The best thing that could have happened to the Chargers, or people who are holding Chargers futures tickets like myself, was for Seattle to lose to San Francisco last week. That was a big deal, because that puts Seattle at 8-6 and really doesn't allow them to coast into the postseason. Otherwise, this would have been a little bit different motivation-wise for the Seahawks. Instead, they're 8-6. They're only a half game up on the Vikings in the wild card race. Seattle right now at number one, the Vikings at number two, and obviously the Eagles right behind them. So this is big. Seattle's got to win this. They got to ensure themselves a playoff position. Seattle, +2.5 at home. Tough place to play. You always got to check the weather in Seattle, particularly this time of year. Marco, your thoughts here.
Yeah, you talk about pressure, Gil. 2 weeks ago, Kansas City's the number one seed, rolling along.
It's amazing.
And now they could be the 5 seed. They could go from 1-5 in one game. And as you said, this game's all, they're going to know what they need to do. And I think if the Chargers win, it's just, it puts so much more pressure on Kansas City. And I'm looking at the Seattle side. And last week, the loss, yeah, just throw it out the window, because it was a horrible spot for them. They beat Minnesota on Monday Night Football, which virtually assured them as a playoff spot. You know, it was just as now if they're going to be the top wild card or the bottom wild card. They are so tough at home. We know how good Kansas City is at home and how loud it is at Kansas City. I still say KC has the loudest outdoor venue. Seattle is right there second. The 12th man, and then you throw in the weather. You never know what the weather's going to be in Seattle. And let's face it, Kansas City, the last couple weeks, offense scores 27 points against Baltimore. 28 against the Chargers. Granted, they finally faced some better defenses, but let's also point out the other common denominator. You've got Kareem Hunt not there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no coincidence that the offensive production went down. As good as Pat Mahomes has been this year, when you have a solid running game, it's going to make, I've always said it, it'll make a good quarterback, better, and it's going to make a great quarterback sensational. And that's what we've seen. Patrick Mahomes has played at a different level this year, but when that running game's clicking, it's even tougher because it changes defensive schemes against them. I like Seattle in this game, but I'm going to go the safe route, Gil. This is teaser city all over.
Yes, sir. Yep.
This is the traditional, grab that two and a half point dog, take them through the 3, 4, 6, and 7, and sit back and relax because I don't see Kansas City getting separation.
I agree.
That's where I'm at.
Kick your legs up, watch everybody else duke it out ATS on a Plinko finish while you can kick your legs up. I'm all about that. Seattle, 4-game winning streak snapped at San Francisco last week. It's so true. Do you ever remember a season like this where there were three teams, the Chiefs, the Rams, and the Saints? And the Saints are going to be okay because despite 5 out of 6 bad halves, their last 6 halves of football, 5 out of the last 6 have been dreadful offensively. Despite that, they're in position to have home field throughout the NFC playoffs. They're going to be okay. But do you ever remember a season where you had three teams like the Saints, Rams, and Chiefs that were head and shoulders above everybody else? And within a span of 2 weeks, we're like, everything we thought we knew, we kind of don't know anything anymore. So this will be very interesting. And as Marco points out, feast or famine in many ways for the Chiefs here. There's a lot of teams like that. The Steelers, who we might get to, they're also in one of those positions where it's like division win or out completely. For the Chiefs, it's number one seed or a wild card team that's going to fight uphill. By the way, the other common thread between these two teams from last week, Chiefs against the Chargers, 10 penalties, 66 yards. Seahawks, and Pete Carroll doesn't get enough criticism for this because they're always being penalized, 14 penalties for the Seahawks against the Niners, 148 yards in those penalties. Ace, I didn't mean to get you riled up earlier before, but I think that's a point that just came up that I think needs to be made more often, so I'm glad you took the mantle there.
Yes, sir. I was going to say speak for yourself because I saw this coming somewhere around week 5 or 6, if I remember correctly. So I'm not sure where the confusion comes in. I got a briefcase full of $3 bills with a plane ticket to Missouri. That's the only state I'll be cashing those. That team's as phony as a $3 bill, brother. I've said it before. I'll say it again. They're that one possession team that don't know how to win when they have the win in their grasp. So I told you, if I could ride a team, make money with them and trust them, I'm all good. I don't have any bias. I could care less. I'll bet you today, fade you tomorrow. My only loyalty is to my pocket when it comes to betting. But at the end of the day, I just felt this team was way, way overvalued. We were getting way ahead of ourselves based on the fact, the history of this team, the history of this head coach, that when it matters, when it really matters, when you're a foot away from grabbing that trophy, of that Super Bowl trophy, that conference championship, that division, you're going to choke. I mean, you just look at past history. You know, they always say, tell me what someone did, I'll tell you what they're going to do. You know, it's pretty much one of those human things that it's not even a sport thing. I mean, at the end of the day, I just didn't understand what all this hype was for Kansas City. If they were getting it done on the defensive side of the ball as well, I'd say you might be right. But the fact they had to put up 40 points a game to win, to me, tells me this is a team, you're not going to be able to sustain that throughout the entire season. I don't care how much the NFL has changed and has become an offensive-type league. If you do not have a defense, you're not bringing home that Super Bowl trophy. Find me a team that's done it. I can't remember in the recent, history that's done it. But as far as this matchup goes, I'm going to tell you the truth. It has nothing to do with the bias of Kansas City. I had San Francisco last week, first half end game against Seattle. I hope the listeners got down on that. But I think the wrong team is favored. I really do. I think on a neutral field, if they were playing in your backyard, Kansas City would not be more than a 1.5 point favorite over Seattle, the way both teams have been playing right now. And the fact they're going into Seattle – with a game that's so meaningful and that they're a favorite, to me, makes absolutely no sense at all. That's nothing more than perception. That's nothing more than the betting market, an overreaction. And to me, I think you got to take advantage of it. There's just so much value on the Seattle Seahawks. If you look at Kansas City real quickly, matchup-wise, look over the last 3 weeks what they've done. They've won two out of three, but they haven't covered. Why? They've averaged allowed about 5 yards per carry over there in three straight games. And now you're going up against the Seattle team that has been running the football lights out in 6 of their last 7 games. To me, that's the perfect recipe for Kansas City. You're going to be seeing old Patrick Johnny Holmes on the sideline waiting to get in because they're going to be grinding that clock in Seattle, baby. That much I can promise you. They're going to run that football and get the win. Give me Seattle all day. Like I said, wrong team's favored. Win or lose, I have no doubt, zero, none, that this is as much line value as you could possibly get on a primetime game. So I'm all over those Seattle Seahawks. Just push that line up to 3 for me. Not like I'm going to need it because this has money line written all over it. Don't even waste your teaser on the Seattle side. Just the 2.5 is more than enough. Probably about a touchdown more than you need.
We'll still tease it just for the hell of it. How about that?
To get more down, just to get more action.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
Yeah, just
that's the only reason.
Are we sprinkling there? We're sprinkling there.
That's the reverse. That's what pleaser is, whatever that's called. To
yeah.
Lay points.
Sprinkle me, man. 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 Sprinkle me, man.
Yeah, the reverse teaser, which, by the way, reverse teaser and the term pleaser, all invented by the great Chrissy Andrews. People don't know that, but that's the case. By the way, you can do those at the South Point. You know what you get? 25-1 on 3-team reverse teasers and 75-1 on 4-teamers. That's some good shit right there. Now, they limit you. Don't get me wrong. They're not going to let you do more than like $50. But still, you know, Chris Felica hit a 4-teamer the other day, last week, for $3,700. So that was a nice little job right there. So, you know, if you're in town, that's the place to go for those. So,
and remember, the look ahead on this game was Seattle -1. So that kind of going towards what I was saying as far as the wrong team being favored.
Seattle all day, every day. We're unanimous so far. Let's see what Ed has to say. Ed, what you got?
Yeah, a lot of thoughts. I mean, I agree with Ace so much about these three teams and seeing regression. You know, we talked about the Rams, talked about the Chiefs, and we talked about the Saints. And two of those three teams have terrible defenses. Mainly the Chiefs and the Saints, so not surprised they've come back to earth. And but I'm going to disagree with Ace on this. I've not been excited about Seattle. I know they've won 8 games, but my numbers have them as a below average NFL team. I thought they were a below average NFL team coming into this year. Nothing except for maybe Russell Wilson once in a while suggests that this is a good team to me. I think Kansas City by about 2.5 is right. I think the total at 53 is about right. But what really fascinates me about this Kansas City team is the way they play defense, in the sense that, you know, I do my defensive rankings in a couple different ways. When you look at pass defense, look at yards per attempt, adjusted for strength of schedule, they're 12th. So that would be pretty good. But when you look at success rate, adjusted for opponent, they're 30th. And I think that's the more important number here. And you can kind of see that in the Chargers game. The Chargers had 8 drives in that game against Kansas City. They scored 4 touchdowns, they threw 2 picks, and they punted twice. But what I think Kansas City does is they know they suck, and they just, you know, play off the line of scrimmage and let you kind of do what you want. So the Chargers had a lot of drives in there. Clearly the Chargers are a great offense. So that's part of that. But yeah, I mean, the Chiefs, I'm very fascinated with their defense, and you know, Mahomes can't win games for them, and I think, you know, obviously the Kareem Hunt thing is probably affecting this offense, but I think defensive coordinators are probably starting to figure this guy out a little bit more, and you're going to start to see that more, and especially continuing into the playoffs. And I'm interested to see both how that plays out, and as well as just, can this defense do anything? I mean, even with Eric Berry back, he came back in that Chargers game.
Damian Williams last week against the Chargers in defeat, 10 carries, 49 yards, 2 touchdowns, 6 catches for 74 yards. Again, in defeat. And yes, Chiefs fans and Chiefs backers, when hearing Ace, will be quick to say, and rightfully so, boy, that Kareem Hunt thing really fell into your lap, didn't it, Ace? They'll say that. And the fact that they're still 11-3. Let's point that out. It's not like they've fallen off a cliff, for God's sakes. Let's talk about Saturday's games, because there are two games. Now, I said earlier there are four games that involve two teams that have to deal with playoff implications. It's actually five. I just didn't count the Redskins-Titans as one of those games, because the Redskins... Even though the Redskins are only a half game out of a playoff spot, I would argue that there has never been a team that is only a half game out of a playoff spot with just 2 weeks remaining in a season that has as futile a chance as the Washington Redskins do. Because this just, it's their fourth quarterback, for God's sakes, Josh Johnson. I don't know how they beat the Jaguars, yet somehow they did on a tipped ball, largely in part because of a tipped ball to Jamison Crowder. Josh Johnson, this is a true story. I am not trying to be funny. Last week, he actually played Madden NFL 19 to learn all of his new teammates' names. That's just the truth. That actually happened. So, first victory of his career.
But, Gil, when you hold the opposition to less than a yard per pass attempt,
yes,
including sacks,
yeah,
you give yourself a chance to win the game.
Well said.
Cody Kessler, for God's sakes, right? Cody Kessler, who ended up with, what was it, total?
20 passing yards.
20 passing yards.
17 attempts, 9 completions for 20 yards.
Yeah, when you factor in the sacks, it comes out to 20 net passing yards. So it's not going to be Cody Kessler and the Jaguars. It is Marcus Mariota, as Mike Tirico likes to pronounce it, the correct Hawaiian pronunciation. Mariota, who... only threw for 88 yards in victory for the Titans in the rain against the Giants. Tennessee blanked the Giants last week in the driving rainstorm. They don't need to when Derrick Henry's going crazy. 248 yards the week before, 170 on a career-high 33 carries against the Giants. Actually, those 408 combined yards, what did I say, 248? That means he rushed for 238 the previous game. Sorry about that. But 408 over the last two games, the best in the Titans era. Earl Campbell. The Tyler Rose did run for more than that over a two-game stretch with the Houston Oilers. But you get the idea. Tennessee's favored by 10 in this game against the Redskins. That's one game on Saturday. Let's call it 10.5 now in some locations. Then, super good game. Baltimore at the Chargers. Baltimore is 8-6. Like the Titans, Baltimore, Tennessee, and Indianapolis are all tied at 8-6 for the number two wild card position. Baltimore is also just a half game behind the Pittsburgh Steelers, as Marco knows very well, in the AFC North. So this is huge for them with Lamar Jackson under center. Lamar Jackson's 4-1 thus far with the Ravens, and we'll never see Joe Flacco ever again in a Ravens uniform, barring injury. And then there's the Chargers, who I've been talking about all week on a numbers game at VSiN. Since that performance on Thursday, even before when I was accumulating Chargers futures and I was telling everybody that I was, Phillip Rivers is having one of the most spectacular careers you'll ever see when all his contemporaries are going down by the wayside. Eli is Eli. Drew Brees is having some rough starts here late. Big Ben is making mistakes like he's never made before. Tom Brady is not the Tom Brady of old. All of these guys are suspect. And here's Phillip Rivers having the best damn season of his career, and he's just not appreciated. He's going to the Hall of Fame. People should stop with this debate, and forgive me for those who listen to the VSiN show with me repeating myself, but he's never had any offensive lineman of any repute. He never gets hurt. He, unlike the Saints, the Rams, and the Chiefs, never has receivers running wide open in the field. He's a pinpoint passer, shot putting them the ball. He rarely uses play action, which I don't understand, which would make those receivers that much more open. And yet, here he is, and the Chargers, with the best record in the AFC, going to try to keep pressure on the Chiefs, as we talked about earlier, for the number one seed. Otherwise, they will be the number one wild card. Chargers by 4.5. Ace, we start with you on this one. Is there a game here of the two that you like better than the other?
Yeah, to share info with our listeners, Washington, Tennessee, personally haven't touched it. A group I provide accounts for, they took Washington plus 10.5. I always take a percentage of the account, so obviously I have something riding on that sign. But I piggyback the ones that I like a lot and release them, you know, to my guys. And I haven't with that Washington one at all. I'm just not confident in it. But personally, the sign I like in those matchups, I like the Chargers, I do in that matchup. I think the line should be a little bit higher than it was. you know, you see this Baltimore team. I know Chargers are coming off a big win, but I don't think this is a letdown spot for them. I mean, they got Denver on deck, granted, but this is a team that's been focused. Other than that one-point loss against Denver, I mean, they've just been playing really good football. Even when they turn the ball over, they're winning games. That's what's most impressive. I mean, they were minus two in turnovers at Kansas City and won that game. You know, when you can do that, you're playing really well. I like the Chargers right now. Ride that momentum. Something I don't usually do when a team looks that good. They're usually going to be overvalued. I don't see it here. I really don't. Keeping it at that price of four, I don't know why. I thought the line should be closer to six. But I like the Chargers.
Yeah, it's actually more four than four and a half. I think the Chargers are going to the Super Bowl. I really do. Most balanced team in the AFC to me. Although, if you talk to any Chargers fan, they will sit there and they will say to you, if the Chargers lose this, this would be the most Chargers thing ever. So, you never know. By the way, the Chargers, I feel for old San Diego Chargers fans, because they were such a loyal fan base to this franchise, and it must be so conflicting for them now to see this team that left San Diego to play at StubHub and see their success now and wonder, really, after all these years, is this when you're really going to put it together? So, got to be tough for them. Ed, any take on any of these two games here Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fascinated with the Chargers. I do think they should be a Super Bowl favorite coming out of the AFC, basically because of balance on both sides of the ball. My numbers like both the offense and the defense. And then, you know, this Tennessee-Washington game kind of cracks me up. We'll talk about this later, but you look at these teams that are not very good but favored by more than a touchdown at home.
Yeah.
So Tennessee, Dallas, Indy, and Cleveland. Like, none of those teams kind of pass the smell test for, you know, being any kind of Super Bowl contender, yet they're big favorites. And I mean, you can clearly see why for the Tennessee and Cleveland, because, you know, the opposing starting quarterbacks are out. Washington's on their fourth quarterback. But yeah, that really fascinates me about this week in particular.
Yeah. Redskins on their fourth quarterback, on their makeshift offensive line, with skill players that have been mostly out of the lineup this year. Just a decimated offense. Marco, either one of these?
Yeah, for me, the Tennessee line's too, you know, I can't lay 10 points with a team that struggles to score. You're paying a premium. You want to take them because of the must win. The intriguing game, obviously, is Baltimore and the Chargers. And I think what you're going to get here is you're going to get a mix from the bettors. The guys that crunch the numbers and are strictly numbers guys, they're going to be on Baltimore, because you get a defense like Baltimore's getting points. They're always going to line up there. But for me, watching these games, and this is where you got to just, you know, sometimes you got to set numbers aside and look and see what you're seeing and understand what you're seeing. Lamar Jackson has more rushing attempts, 114, I believe it is, to 73 pass completions. That's not a formula that you can continue to keep getting away with. And you look at the teams that they've played during this streak. He's been the starter for five games. They're 4-1 straight up with him at the helm. But they beat Cincinnati, who's decimated with injuries, Oakland, pitiful defense, Atlanta, who this is a totally lost season, Kansas City doesn't have a good defense, and then last week, Tampa Bay, one of the worst defenses in the league. We thought in the Kansas City game that if Baltimore fell behind by two scores because of that Kansas City offense, what would Lamar Jackson do if he had to use his arms? Well, they never fell behind by two scores because their defense at KC was so bad that Baltimore was able to keep moving the football. Will they have that success against the Chargers? The Chargers have a decent defense. It's not great, but it's the best defense that Lamar Jackson will have faced. And they've got a very capable offense that is playing well right now. I just think that this game gets to 10, a 10-point lead for the Chargers, and then Baltimore's got to push the envelope, and then we might see the turnovers by Lamar Jackson. I lean to the Chargers, but it's a tough one because you look at the numbers, and I'm old school, and I believe in that. You give me the better defense getting points, I'm usually there 90% of the time.
Hey, Mark, I just got to jump in real quick. I mean, as a numbers guy, I mean, my numbers say Chargers by about 3.5. So not a ton of value at 4 at all. So, I mean, maybe lean Baltimore. But that's what my numbers that are available to members of my site say.
Lamar Jackson last week against the Bucks, 14 to 23 for 131, one touchdown, no sack, sacked two times, 18 carries, 95 yards, averaging 5.3 yards per rush. I'm with you, Marco, on everything you say about Lamar Jackson. I'm not buying it yet, that's for sure. Baltimore has hitched its wagon to him, though. 4-point favorites, or 4-point dogs, rather, 4.5-point dogs in some spots at the Chargers Saturday evening. All right, Sunday games. Ace, you got dibs. What do you like?
Oh, my God. I have so much gold. This is the hardest part of my job. We're narrowing it down for winners for you guys. So, yeah, here's what I'm going to give you something I already bet. I'm already fired on. Actually bet the side and the total on this game, and that's Cleveland and Cincinnati. I can't give you Cleveland because I gave it to my guys at -7. It's now up to close to 10, so no value there. But we could still get some money on that under, guys, because this game, I've been given a total, I don't think, all season, maybe one. And I said, I got to wait for one where I don't think five quarters could get the game over the total. And I think this is that game. Cleveland's defense has really stepped up, man. Other than those 29 points to Houston, over the last 5 weeks, they've been absolutely phenomenal. And those 29 points they gave up to Houston, they had four turnovers in that game. So it's hard to keep a team out of the end zone when you turn the ball over four times. So I'll give them a pass there. Then on the flip side, granted, Cincinnati put up 30 points, but that was against Oakland last week. Again, beneficiaries of some turnovers, were able to run the football for almost 200 yards, something they're not going to do against the Cleveland Browns. And offensively, you look at Cincinnati, over the last 6 weeks, throw Oakland out the window, they haven't been able to put up more than 21 any of those weeks. I don't see this team cracking 20. Keep them in those low teens. I think Cleveland gets into the 20s. This one barely cracks 40. Give me the under 44.5. I feel better 45. It's one of those, you know, numbers. Maybe it goes back up. You get the 45. I bet it under 46.5, 46, 45.5, and under 45. That's where I stop, but I'd still 44.5. No reason to stop there. This game don't crack the 40s.
All right, Cincinnati, Cleveland, under 44.5 right now as we do this on Thursday morning. Ace saying, even if it were five quarters, wouldn't go over.
They ain't scoring that many.
Wouldn't go over. Ed, what do you like on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, the game I'm looking at is Tampa Bay at Dallas. We already talked about these four teams that are not very good and yet more than touchdown favorite. Dallas doesn't impress me on either side of the ball. When you look at their numbers, they're 27th in my pass offense, ranking 17th on defense. Just nothing stands out about this team. And if you look at Tampa Bay, you know, we've talked about how their defense is terrible, but they've been able to chuck the ball around this year. I mean, I know Jameis Winston got benched, but they throw the ball around, and they are third in my pass offensive ranking. So that's taking yards per pass attempt and adjusting for strength of schedule. My numbers would make Dallas a 3.5-point favorite. So I would take the points with Tampa Bay in that game.
Taking the points with Tampa Bay, that's a lot of points. Cowboys clinch the NFC East with the win. Tampa Bay always live. I will say this, though, home road splits, I've been talking about them all year long in the NFL. No season with bigger chasms in home road splits than this one. Dallas, the quintessential home road team, just crushing it at home and not getting it done on the road. Tampa Bay also has some severe home road splits as well. Dallas 6-1 straight up at home, 2-5 on the road. Tampa Bay 4-3 at home, 1-6 straight up on the road. Obviously, point spread involved here. That is a lot of points for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to get, though, that's for sure. Marco, what are you looking at on Sunday?
Gil, just a quick note for you. Just in, Washington Redskins, no Jordan Reed officially out for Saturday.
So yeah.
Another blow to your team.
Jordan Reed, who had for much of the season been the only one that remained healthy on that offense, which is funny because he was always the guy that was brittle, couldn't quite make it through the whole season. So, yeah.
Wasn't he the backup quarterback in one of those games?
No, that was Quinn. That was a wide receiver, Trey Quinn.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for that, Marco. Thanks so much.
Well, you I'm sorry. It came across my desk. What was it? Breaking news. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all
right. The one I'm going to go to, and man, you know, I love how people just, they jump on the bandwagon so fast. They jump off it so fast. I don't know how people don't break legs jumping on and off the way they do.
I think I know where you're going. I think I know where you're going.
I'm going Houston, Philadelphia.
Yep.
Is that where you
That's
I was
exactly
going?
Where you I thought know, you were going. I've made this point all week. Yeah.
The Philadelphia team, okay, the Dallas game, everybody wanted Philadelphia. This was the fashionable play because after they had two wins against, I'm sorry, the New York Giants and the Washington Redskins. No offense, Gil, but the Washington game, we remember that game. That was the game with Sanchez, you know, had to come in and everything. Forget those two wins. And then the Dallas game, the 29-23 final in overtime was the most counterfeit final score you will ever see. They went up and down the field on Philadelphia. Now, there was a couple controversial calls that maybe could have changed things, but the fact was Dallas had their way with this Philadelphia defense. I don't know what happened last week with the Rams. I can tell you when I was watching the game as it started and saw all week the way the line just kept going up and up and up. It reminded me, and I don't remember if it was last year or 2 years ago, but do you remember the Sunday night football game that had the New York Giants going to Denver?
Oh, yeah.
And the Giants had all of those injuries, and that line just kept rolling. Nobody wanted them. What happened? Not only did the Giants cover, they pulled the upset.
Yep.
And I think the Rams was a combination of losing the Bear game twice because it was such a big game, and they got a punch in the gut and a real dose of reality that they're not what they think they are, because the Bears really intimidated them, made them look bad. Jared Goff was horrible, 4 interceptions, and I think there was that carryover effect coming into the Philly game, and then Wentz is out. Oh, we just got to show up here, and we're going to win this game. Do you remember how bad Philly was at the beginning of the year with Foles? Well, he had his good game. The injured player theory, now it's the second week. They got the cover. I don't see him doing it again. This Houston team has done nothing wrong all season. Since they lost the first three, they rolled off 9 in a row, and then they lose to one of the hottest teams in the league that nobody wants to play right now, that might not make the playoffs, in the Indianapolis Colts. They had a snooze fest on Saturday night against the Jets, so they get an extra day's rest. That was basically just a scrimmage. Philadelphia played on the West Coast on Sunday night, travel back home with the East Coast. You got that advantage. They had a late night, so lose if you want to say a half a day. Houston's got an advantage. I love Houston. I'm taking them as the best bet. And you know what? Remember that teaser I said on with Seattle? Well, the other end of it's going to be Houston right now while you're still getting points.
Yep.
I think by the time we get to game time, it's not going to be there. Do it now, guys. Seattle, Houston in a teaser. Book it. Like Ace says, free money. They're printing it. Just go pick it up.
We're thinking along the same lines, Marco. We are simpatico on these teasers.
I don't know if that's good or bad, Gil. What do you think?
I think that's very good for you, young man. I think that's very good. I think, yeah, you asked. That's my answer. I'm with you, though, on guessing lines on Monday. I thought Houston would be favored in this game. I thought Houston would be favored in this game, only to find out that the effects of recency are as real as ever. And Philly's the favorite. Now, this does appear, so it opened at Houston, I guess in some spot, opened at Houston -1.5, though I never saw where that was. And then quickly it became a Philadelphia. It was a pick 'em before you knew it, and Philadelphia was favored by as much as 2.5. It has come down a little bit. It's like 1.5 now, consensus. It's even come down a little today. So you wonder what's going to happen between now and game time. But I'm very with you on the overall sentiment that this is a line that surprises me in many ways. -1.5 total in this game is at 46. All right, gentlemen, before we get to the final two questions of the show, a reminder, as always, that support for today's show, as always, is brought to you by Bookmaker.eu. It's an industry leader. Bookmaker is for close to 30 years now. Pro players consider them a must because they're first to post odds, take the highest limits, and pride themselves on never having kicked out a winning player. Based on the discussion that I had with Ace earlier on this show, that should resonate with you. Bookmaker is one of the few places on earth that can say that, and it's the real deal. Highest limits, never kick out anybody first to post odds. Chances are that your book follows their lines. Bookmaker's motto, where the lines originate, it is as true as ever. And Bookmaker, a high-volume sports book best suited, as always, for the sophisticated player who understands sports betting, also caters to large recreational players. And if you visit bookmaker.eu/gill, that's bookmaker.eu/GILL, visit it today. You can join and claim an exclusive 100% welcome bonus of up to $300. Plenty of time left before the playoffs to do that. It's bookmaker.eu/GILL to join and claim your welcome bonus of up to $300. You can enjoy it during bowl season as well. All the favorites, except for Georgia Southern. I guess they didn't close as a favorite. But so far in bowl season, every single favorite has come home. What a strange beginning to the college football bowl season. We'll see if that continues through the weekend before there's a mini break before bowl season really gets serious next week. All right, gentlemen, then the final two questions are as follows. As always, which of the big favorites is the most likely to lose outright? And boy, do we have a slew of them. In fact, we have three games that are double digits. Well, actually, in some places, it's really five. There are five different games where you're looking at double digits. Let's start with the game we already talked about, Tennessee on Saturday. 10-point favorites at home against the Washington Redskins. New England, 13.5-point favorites at home against the Buffalo Bills. Obviously, the breaking news this morning, sad news. Josh Gordon taking another leave, not expected to play again this season. Some reports say it has to do with violating the rules that were in place for him to join the Patriots. Your brain goes to certain things that have affected Josh in the past, and your brain also goes to, will we ever see Josh Gordon play football again in the National Football League? Gordon, who led the Patriots in yards receiving and yards per catch this year, 18 yards per catch for Josh Gordon. Patriots favored by 13.5 in that game. Then there's the Colts, 9-point favorites consensus right now, hosting the Giants as the Colts try to shut out a second NFC East team in as many weeks. Cleveland, we talked about them, 9.5-point favorites, somewhere in that pocket, hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. Arizona, 14-point dogs. The Rams, 14-point favorites on the road at Arizona. Those are the big ones. Those are all the big ones, either on the cusp of 10 points or greater, or in double digits comfortably. Which of those big favorites, Ed, is the most likely to lose outright, in your opinion?
I was gonna talk about Tampa Bay again, but I guess we're going with 10+. I'll go with the New York Giants here. And I think this is, you know, less about the Giants and more about my questions with the Colts, in particular their defense. They're last when I look at success rate adjusted for strength of schedule. They're not doing much better in the pass defense by adjusted yards per attempt, 21st. So, you know, it's just a team that I'm not impressed with so far. I know they've done some decent things on the offensive side of the ball with Andrew Luck and Marlon Mack running the ball. But I'll take the New York Giants.
So the Colts, most likely of that group to lose outright. If given your druthers, I love the word druthers, you would have taken Dallas as a 7-point favorite hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 7.5, somewhere in that pocket. Marco, biggest favorite, most likely to lose outright, in your opinion?
Yeah, you didn't put any of the 6-pointers in this week, right?
No, I didn't, because I didn't need to. But if I did, yeah. So you get two tiers. Just like Ed just said, double-digit tier would be the Colts. Then if you default, he went to Dallas. So you can get the same kind of answer.
Yeah, if I did this, boy, I'll tell you what. This is going to be ballsy, but I'm going to look at New England right now.
Wow.
This is, you know, with the Josh Gordon and, you know, stuff, this team's just, I mean, you've got Buffalo. You're going to see Josh Allen running all over the place. This guy has been amazing the last several weeks, you know, down the stretch. And New England, to me, looked like a tired team last week. And this is a team that's played a lot of road games. You look at their schedule of what they've done and the way this NFL put their schedule up this week. I talked about it. It was one of the reasons why, you know, one of the many reasons that I had Pittsburgh last week. Mm-hmm. But they're not the same team. And that's going to be ballsy if you're making me go to the double digits, because I don't want to go against Indianapolis. They're just playing too good. Do I want to lay the points with them? No. But the one I was going to throw in, if we go to the lower tier, Minnesota laying 6 at Detroit, as bad as Detroit is.
I agree.
Minnesota is just, they beat up on the teams that they can. And this line is absolutely ridiculous. Now, I know Detroit's bad, but do you realize that when they played at Minnesota, the closing number was 5.5? They're laying 6 on the road.
Yeah.
How, you're going to tell me, and I know, you know, Golden Tate's gone. There's, you know, Matthew Stafford's banged up. But I'm going to go with the misery loves company attitude here. The season's over for Detroit, and it's been for a long time. But this is a division rival that you could put, you know, you could play the role of spoiler. If you're not going to the playoffs, why not try to prevent somebody else, you know, that needs this win bad? I got Detroit if we're going to go, if we include the Sixes.
100% agree with what you're saying there. This would be so like Detroit to show up for this game. And I just don't know about Minnesota. I know everybody's excited because they went to the run last week. Some advanced analytics guys like Warren Sharp will tell you that's exactly the wrong thing for the Vikings to do on a long-term basis.
I'd agree.
Yeah, and Ed would agree right there. All right, Ace, same question. Two tiers of the double-digit ones or the ones that are flirting with double digits and then knock it down to the next tier. Who would be the most likely to lose outright, in your opinion?
100% agree with Marco as far as the Minnesota-Detroit. I made my line 4. The look-ahead was 3. It opened 4.5. Now it's up to 6. That's way too high. I like Detroit plus the points. And if I like a dog, especially at home, I'm going to sprinkle money line. So that has it. But as far as value goes, like last week's Eagles, I needed a little more. I wanted 4-1, and I'd be on those Giants too. If it gets to 4-1, that's going to be a bet for me, like the Eagles at 5-1. Right now it's at like 370, the highest I could find. Want a little bit more. Hopefully it gets there. I think the Colts are beatable, man. And more importantly, I love how both these teams are coming off kind of the opposite spectrum. You have the Giants coming off being shut out, Colts coming off having shut out Dallas. I mean, it sets up nicely for the Giants to bounce back and get a win. And prior to that game, let's not forget, they had won 4 out of the 5, their last 5 games. And more importantly, they were dogs in 3 of those 5. And the one they did lose was by a field goal on the road to Philadelphia. And if you look at the splits, I mean, Giants got more wins, a better record, 3-4 on the road compared to 2-5 at home. So give me the Giants also, but let's try to get 4-1 on our money. Then that would definitely be worth a bet.
Well, a testament to what this week in the NFL is like, the fact that we had a 2-tier answer to that question. Rare that happens, but lots of games with large spreads of 6 points or more, many of which were double digits or flirting with that. Final question. You had to bet a side in each of these. Bizarro exercise. 16 games in the NFL. You must bet a side in 15 of them. Which is the game you want to pass on, Ed?
Yeah, I'm passing on Atlanta at Carolina. Carolina has shut down Cam Newton for the year. I read it was shoulder fatigue.
Yes.
Seems a little strange to me. But they're going to throw out Taylor Heinicke.
Yeah. Taylor Heinicke. Yeah.
From Dominion, undrafted quarterback with 5 career pass attempts. And I do numbers, but I don't know how to do numbers on Taylor Heinicke. And you have all kinds of crazy things on the other side of the ball. Atlanta's had a crazy season with injuries on the defensive side of the ball. I'm looking at Desmond Trufant is questionable. Julio Jones. I just don't know what to do with that game.
Yeah, I hear you. And on the shutdown of Cam Newton, that spread shifts from Atlanta being a 3.5-point dog to Carolina being a 3.5-point dog. Some might quibble with the 7-point move from Cam to Taylor Heinicke. Marco, which is the game you want no part of?
Yeah, the shutting down of Cam Newton. If you just looked at the last drive Monday night, the throws he was making, dude, it was sad.
How did they lose that game? He single-handedly lost that game for them. That I felt so bad for that defense.
I live bet that last drive, Marco. It's funny you say that because I said to my buddy who was sitting right next to me, I go, I'm jumping in because there is zero chance that Cam Newton is going to be able to matriculate this ball down the field, even into field goal range. Heavily bet against that happening. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It was bad. But the game I don't want any part of is the Rams in Arizona. You're laying 14 points with them. The Rams, you know, they need the win if they want to still try to get that home field advantage, you know, still away from the Saints. But what made the look-ahead line was 11.5, okay? They lost last week. How did this line go up? Arizona did what we thought they would do. They'd lose on the road. But the Rams lost at home, and the look-ahead line goes from 11.5 to 14. Do I want to take the Rams? No. Do I trust Arizona? Hell no. I don't want any part of this game. And the Rams need a confidence-building win. So I think this is one of those ones where they could, if they get a chance, just keep the foot on the gas. But I really think the injury to Kupp has hurt this Rams offense more than anybody. That was Goff's security blanket, in my opinion. When he needed to go to somebody on third down, he was the guy he went to. They're missing him in this lineup.
I was joking with Michael Lombardi several times on my show. I'm like, is Cooper Kupp the MVP of the National Football League? Then I saw him tweeting it the other day, and I was like, hey, wait a minute, you're stealing my thoughts. but it really is. It's like it's ridiculous how far they've fallen. Warren Sharp will tell you it's all about their going away from play-action passes. Sean McVay, I was a Sean McVay truther, but there's a lot that's happened in the last few weeks where I like shake my head. I'm like, you forget about Todd Gurley. You're not play action passing. These guys aren't getting out of bounds when they're supposed to. Like at some point, that's coaching, right? Like, even Sean McVay is not impervious to criticism. A, same thing. Which game you want no part of?
This was tough. I'm honest. Pretty much all these games are bettable. Denver-Oakland, most likely, the Monday night game, furthest away, one I haven't bet yet, except, like I said, trying to set up possibly a middle. But that's the one that I didn't really have any opinion on to do that like I did.
Okay. And I would say, Marco, to your rhetorical question, what happened this past week that made that line go to 14? I think people who were like, oh, Josh Rosen is terrible at football, were like, oh, my God, he's even more terrible than we thought. That would be my guess.
What would Tom Brady do in that system, though, right? Like, is it all Rosen's fault? Or
no, of course not. And I do agree with the sentiment because I am famous for having said, if Peyton Manning were drafted by the Washington Redskins, Peyton Manning would never have become Peyton Manning. I really believe that. I think there's no sport like football in that regard. It really is so dependent on where you end up. And is an organization stable? Is there continuity from year to year? If Peyton Manning had a different OC every single season in D.C., I mean, he wouldn't have sucked, but he would never have become the Hall of Famer. And there's no way to prove that, but I firmly believe that. Anyway, we've done all we could do, gentlemen. For week 16 in the NFL, here's the deal. Once again, we're not here for week 17. We've tried it before, hadn't gone well. One day I was like, hey, let's try week 17. And so we did it one year, and it was not fun because there's too much squirreliness. And they've also taken away the many correlated parlay opportunities. They've reduced those by making a lot of the games concurrent the final week of the season. So everybody just enjoy your Christmas holiday, the week in between Christmas and New Year's. We'll be back for Wild Card Weekend. So happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to everybody. Marco, Ace, Ed, all of you, and everybody who listens to this show so loyally, not just this year, but through the years. We cannot express our appreciation enough. And I know I speak for Marco and Ace on that as well.
Indeed. Happy holidays to everyone, man. Have a safe holiday season and enjoy yourself and your families, man. Best of luck ahead. Health, prosperity, all that good stuff, and appreciate you guys listening to us each week.
Merry Christmas, everybody. We do. We appreciate it. And guys, getting close. It's going to be about a month away. You know what we'll be doing, the lifestyle.
Oh, yes.
Boy, do I have a topic we need to touch on.
Do you care to?
Oh, my God. It's just there's an insanity brewing on Twitter that we have to touch on.
Oh, wait.
This companion nonsense is really starting to rub me the wrong way.
I have no
we'll get to that.
I have no idea what he's talking about. Oh, my God. This is good.
You'll have to tune in.
All right. That's the week in between conference championship and Super Bowl as well. And for those who have never heard that show before, let me just warn you in advance. It is a travesty. It is a deplorable endeavor that we undertake every year. So we'll bring in Meltzer. We'll do that one. Ed Fang from the Power Rank, second appearance this year. Ed, appreciate it, man. Always appreciate the insight.
Hey, man, thank you so much for having me on. And, here's to Apple not kicking you guys off their podcast for the lifestyle episode.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And by the way, if you have money in the stock market, go to your portfolios quickly. That's all I have to say. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Good luck with all your bets this weekend. Happy holidays. We'll see you week after next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.